Good morning. Grace and peace to you as we gather together today to worship our God this morning. Surely God is with us in this virtual place and calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Rise up and come to our help, merciful God, for we are in need. Our spirits are weighed down with fear. Our bodies feel as fragile as the dust from which we came. All that we have trusted seems hidden from sight. Although this moment has come upon our nation, you have not forgotten us. We do not trust in our own power or strength, but in your steadfast love in every generation. Show us your spirit and remind us of your faithfulness and save us for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Welcome again to our virtual worship space here at Parma Christian Church. You're welcome to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on Facebook Live. For any visitors who are joining with us today, I am Reverend Nancy Dunn, the interim minister here at Parma Christian Church. Richard Woodward is our organist and pianist. Daryl Cravanos is our tech and camera person, as well as our elder today. There are two items that I want to remind you of as we begin to worship together this morning. The first is that we will celebrate Holy Communion with one another towards the conclusion of our service. We believe that the Lord's table is open to all and that your table at home is an extension of Christ's table. So I invite you to gather whatever you may have at home, bread, cracker, something for the cup, juice or water, and celebrate with us this Sunday morning for Holy Communion. The second thing I'd like to remind you of is offering. Your generosity is greatly appreciated, and you may use our online giving tool, which is found on our church website, www.parmachristianchurch.org. Or you may mail in your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 4 through 11. We tend to follow what is called the lectionary cycle here, which gives ministers a scripture to preach each week, and this is the gospel for this Sunday. Mark does not begin with stories of Jesus' birth or childhood. There's no Christmas celebration in the Gospel of Mark. Instead, Mark begins with the story of Jesus' baptism and the voice of God booming from heaven, declaring that Jesus is God's Son. Hear now this word from the Holy Scriptures today. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When 2020 came to an end on December 31st at the stroke of midnight, many people around the world celebrated and rejoiced, not just because it was New Year's Eve, but because it was the end of 2020. one of the most difficult years in our recent memories. It came to a close. We were excited to open the doors to let out the old year that brought us so much pain and sorrow and such unwelcome change in our lives. And while we were being realistic and knew that a simple turn of the page on the calendar would not make everything better overnight, I don't think any of us ever imagined the events that we have seen and experienced in our country this week. It has been the most difficult beginning to a new year that I can ever remember. None of us have ever seen anything like this before. So as we look at our scripture that tells us about Jesus's baptism today, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we expect to hear and learn today? What does this scripture say to us as faithful followers of Christ as we seek to understand the events that have happened this week in our nation's capital? What bit of hope does this scripture offer us during this time of great uncertainty in our country? Well, as I have said repeatedly over and over again over these last few weeks and even months, these scriptures found in the Bible were written during times of great political and economic turmoil. During Jesus' days, Rome was the empire and control of the land of Judea. The Jewish people longed for the day when they would have another king like King David. They prayed for the coming of the Messiah. Yet the Messiah that they received came not with a sword, but with messages of peace, of hope, and of love. In our scripture today, we meet John the Baptist, a prophet of great fame. He preached forgiveness of sins. He baptized the people after they confessed their sins. He did not preach doom and gloom. Instead, according to this scripture in Mark, he preached forgiveness. And he foretold the coming of the Messiah. Mark's version of this tale is rather simple and short. You see, Mark's gospel tends to leave out the details. His gospel is the nuts and bolts story. Mark shares the basic facts and then moves quickly from one story to the next. It's like he's the AP news of the day. So he tells us that John proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Then John said, "There is one coming after him who is greater than even he is." The John the Baptist in this scripture is both forgiving and humble. Those are the qualities of a good leader: forgiveness and humility. We don't know much about Jesus' childhood in this Gospel of Mark. We meet Jesus for the first time at the Jordan River as he comes to John to be baptized. The story does not tell us if Jesus confessed any sins to John or even what their conversation was about. What we learn was that Jesus, as he was coming up out of the water, a voice from heaven said, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am pleased." You see, nothing more important than this had happened in Jesus' life before this moment, according to the Gospel of Mark. This is the declaration that began Jesus' ministry. This is the story, the ultimate call story, that proclaims how Jesus' ministry began. It began with the baptism of repentance and declaration from God that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus' baptism is an important part of the good news of God's redeeming love for us all. Do you remember your baptism? On the day that I was baptized, I admit, I was pretty nervous. My brother and I had both completed the required pastor's class. We had made our confessions of faith, and we entered the waters of baptism one right after the other. I honestly don't remember exactly a whole lot about that day, you know, what was said and things like that. I do remember walking into the baptismal pool and feeling the coolness of the water. I remember confessing my faith that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I remember feeling excited and nervous, happy and slightly scared at what I was doing. All of those feelings are normal, and they are all right for such a momentous day. And even though I had grown up in the church and faith was already an important part of my life, making my confession of faith and being baptized was a momentous occasion, as it was my public proclamation of what was already true about my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Being baptized means more than just accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's also an acceptance of God's call to live a faith-filled life that reflects repentance, humility, grace, and love. It's about trying to live a life that reflects the values of Jesus Christ, which include hope, peace, justice, and mercy. It's about fulfilling the call for Christians to be agents of reconciling love in this world. Agents of reconciling love. Now, the events that happened at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday were simply horrible. There are not even words to begin to describe the anguish that we felt as we watched our TV screens. One of the things that bothered me greatly was seeing signs like "Jesus Saves" being paraded around inside the building by people who were absolutely not being agents of reconciling love. There are lots of things that I could say about the people who committed the acts of violence and insurrection on Wednesday. Lots of things. But today I want to focus on one of the women in the Capitol who was living out her baptismal call of being an agent of reconciling love. You see, a week ago, last Sunday, Rear Admiral Margaret Groen Kibben was sworn in as the chaplain to the U.S. House of Representatives. She is the first female minister to hold that position. And on Wednesday, as the House proceedings were opening, she began the proceedings with a prayer. And then later, she found herself giving care and support to members of Congress who sit on both sides of the aisle. In the midst of that chaos, she said that she was asked to pray again. She began by reading from Psalm 46, the same psalm that she had included in her prayer before the House that morning. She said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth shall change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea." She then prayed for a covering of peace and shelter and lifted up prayers. She lifted up prayers for those ransacking the Capitol, that those who felt so strongly against us might come to understand the lawmakers they decry ultimately want precisely what the attackers insisted they were denied, quote, that our legislative process is appropriate and legal and representative, And then as she finished, the room was quiet. Even in the midst of chaos, God was there. Not in the way the insurrectionists might have thought, not the way that those people who carried Jesus save signs thought. No, God was there in the prayers of the chaplain who prayed for protection, but also for grace and for the eyes of the insurrectionists to be opened to the harm that they were causing. In our darkest hours, in our times of great need, both personal and even national, we should always remember that our baptismal call is to know that God is with us, that God calls us at all times to be agents of reconciling love. Yet even as we are agents of love, we too can be like John the Baptist and preach a message of repentance so that we can receive the forgiveness for our sins. The First Baptist Church of Washington, D.C. has taken up that call well. On their webpage, which I encourage you to look at, they have an eloquent statement that calls out the need for confession of our national sin of systemic racism, of white supremacy, and Christian nationalism. We are a nation of many faiths. We cannot profess Christian nationalism. That is a sin. The seeds of these sins were planted over 400 years ago as a country that was founded with slavery and racism in our bedrocks. And we have never, never truly repented of those sins. Wednesday was evidence of how pervasive the sin of systemic racism is in our country. We know that we must say phrases like Black Lives Matter, because if we do not, we will continually give those who believe in racism and systemic racism and white supremacy and Christian nationalism the reason to do and say what they do. As the First Baptist Church of Washington, D.C. says, we are a people of hope and a people of faith, and we believe in repentance and rising to walk in newness of life, empowered by the Spirit of God and guided by the teachings and example of Jesus Christ. The church also offers this prayer, that we pray today and always for peace in our land and justice for all who reside in the United States, for a greater resolve among the people of our nation to resist the sinful ideologies of white supremacy and Christian nationalism. We pray for a deeper courage among the people of our nation to acknowledge and confront all unjust and oppressive systems that enable and perpetuate the sins of racism, classism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, and religious bigotry. We pray for the humility and courage to confront within ourselves the sins of racism, classism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, and religious bigotry. And we pray for the will to reject dehumanizing discourse and to confront one another without hatred, bitterness, or indifference. And we pray for the resolve as we endeavor to seek peace with our enemies and with those of different convictions, to resist every false peace undergirded by silence and the status quo. When we remain silent, we allow those sins to perpetuate and grow. Finally, we pray for an awakening of conscience in and genuine repentance by those who committed this assault on our republic and for the political and religious leaders who encouraged and enabled them. I am sickened and saddened by the pastors in this country who continually preach the sin that who preach the values of Christian nationalism and white supremacy from their pulpits. That is a sin. It is my personal prayer for all of us that we seek to live out the ideals lifted up in that prayer offered by First Baptist Church. It is also my prayer that we seek to live out our baptismal call to be agents of reconciling love as revealed to us by Jesus Christ. As we walk into a week of unknown and uncertainties, please know that you are a beloved child of God, and that God is with us no matter what we may encounter in the days ahead. Go forth and live out your baptismal call to be an agent of reconciling love in this world. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer today, I do invite you to type in the comments section those who you would like us to lift up in prayer this week, and we will pray for them. Today, we lift up Audra, Bob, Terry, Burday's family, Clyde, Joe, Bob, and Brenda. We pray for all who have been exposed to or diagnosed with COVID-19. We pray for all who have been affected by the economic impact of this pandemic. We also pray for those who mourn the loss of their loved ones to COVID-19. And we pray, as we have been praying for months, we pray for our country that we might see one another as valued children of God during this time of political and racial turmoil. Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, we come to you in prayer today feeling dismay. We are still in shock, and we lament the loss of life, the loss of peace, and we wonder, how did it come to this? Almighty God, we confess the sins of the worst parts of our history. We ask that your Holy Spirit guide us toward a deep repentance. We confess that too often we have relied upon temporal promises which come and go with every news cycle. Instead, help us to rely upon Jesus, who calls us to love. Jesus, who offers grace, and Jesus, who offers mercy. We remember your promises of restoration and covenant, and we call upon them now. We pray that the Holy Spirit will bring a newfound peace to our land, a surprising peace, yes, but a deeply needed one, peace to heal wounds, peace to end a time more defined by outrageous rhetoric than by acts of humility, grace, justice, and kindness. We remember the warnings of Jesus about violence begetting violence. Save us from further acts of political and racial violence. Save us from mistrust, chaos, and injustice. May the coming days be ruled by truth, goodness, and integrity. From sea to shining sea, from small town streets to the halls of power, help each and every one of us to walk in the manner of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.